May the Lord help us to commence our worship with hymn 876. When the chosen tribes debated, gainst their God as hardly treated, and complained their hopes were spilled, God, for murmuring to requite them, fiery serpent sent to bite them, lively type of deadly guilt. Hymn 876.
Thank you. from the Holy Word of God. We will read together the Paul's Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak? But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man, that thou art mindful of him? Or the Son of Man, that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honour, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honour, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. Forasmuch then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily, he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things, it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succour them that are tempted. May God bless that reading of his holy word to us and teach us how to pray. Most merciful and gracious and almighty Lord God in heaven, once more in thy mercy thou hast spared us to gather again in this house of prayer, and we thank thee for this opportunity to meet again together. And we pray thy gracious help and blessing to be upon us here this evening. We seek thy presence, dear Lord, to be among us as we gather around thy word to worship thee. Thou hast promised in thy word that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. And we desire, Lord, that in fulfilling that precious promise, we might know something personally of thy presence here this evening, that it might please thee to meet with us, that our hearts might be touched, that our cases might be met, that we may truly benefit and profit from the time spent in worship of thee. Lord, we seek to firstly render praise to thee. Oh, but Lord, how often thou art pleased to bless the gatherings of thy people. And Lord, art pleased to make known thyself to thy people. And we seek, most gracious God, that thy blessing might rest upon us, and that as we leave thy house of prayer this evening, it may be said, it hath been good for us to be here. And may there be those things that remain and things that abide in our hearts as we go forward this week. And grant, Lord, that thy word might enter in and find that abiding place in our hearts. And may we know the power of thy Holy Spirit, applying that word to us. And, Lord, that we might have it brought back to our remembrance, and that we might truly live on it and feed on it and profit from it. And, Lord, we do pray that it may bring forth fruit to thy honour and glory. Lord, that there may be that rendering of praise unto thee for the multitude of thy tender mercies. Lord, we thank thee for thy goodness and mercy to us each in our lives. We think particularly of our friends who have recently been granted the birth of a little baby daughter. We do commit them each into thy gracious hands. Lord, we would seek to praise thee for these great blessings. And we ask that the little girl might prove to be one of thy dear children, and that thou bless the parents and help them as they begin in this new chapter in their lives together. Lord, we do pray that thou would remember this cause of truth, and grant, Lord, that thy work might continue here till the end of time, that there may ever be a seed to serve thee, to call thee the Redeemer blessed, that the gospel of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ might ever be faithfully proclaimed from this pulpit, and that there might be ever a congregation desiring to hear it and desiring to worship thee. And we do pray for the deacons of this church and the church members, Lord, that thou bless them together, unite them in one heart and one mind to serve the living God, and grant them further tokens of thy love and favour. We thank thee for what thou hast done, and in bringing forth those to join in church membership here. And we do pray that thou continue these things, that there might be that gathering in from the congregation into the church. And Lord, that it might please thee to gather in from the locality and surrounding district. Lord, that there might be many in this locality who may as yet still be dead in trespasses and in sins, but whose names are in the book of life. And oh, we do pray that thou build them up here in their most holy faith. And Lord, we pray that thou lead and teach them, and may they be favoured to know the presence of thy Holy Spirit within them, that it might be Christ in you, the hope of glory, that they may be in their experience and in their witness the children of God, lights shining in this dark world, ever ready to give an account of the good hope that they have. Lord, we come to this time of year when we in particular think of the birth of the dear Saviour of sinners at Bethlehem. And we do ask that as we approach this season, that it might please thee to lift us above the distractions and frivolity that there is around us, and that thou draw us to thyself, that from the youngest to the eldest, we might be brought into a true understanding of the things that were done, our bringing in of an everlasting salvation. Oh, may there be many who will look back to this time of year, this year, and give testimony. There the Lord met me. There the Lord blessed me. Oh, we do pray that thou make thyself known to each one. And do bless us with a personal interest in that gift of gifts, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And may it be we're brought into the sweetness of those words, himself for me. Oh, we do ask then that thou look upon us in mercy and compassion. Take not thy Holy Spirit from us. Lord, personally may we each know what it is to confess our sins before thee. Or may we find acceptance in the Beloved, though of a sinful race. Be with any, Lord, who may feel far off this evening, out of the way, out of the secret, pass by, who may have approached many seasons such as this, and be unchanged, unmoved, passing into a new year. Whose heart may cry with the psalmist, O when wilt thou come unto me? Oh then, Lord, we pray that thou bless them indeed. And, Lord, we do pray that thou keep Satan from them and grant them that gift of faith, that they may be found as true believers. Oh, Lord, we do ask that thou would increase our faith. Forgive us our sin of unbelief. Lord, it is a dreadful sin. And we confess it and pray that thou, O Lord, help our unbelief. And grant to us, Lord, that cleansing of our hearts, creating me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. O Lord, help each of the friends in their daily lives, do grant them that daily help. Grant strength equal to each day. Be with the children and young people. Lord, thou knowest what needs they have. They are growing up in a world which is full of much confusion. Lord, we have a day when thy hand of judgment is heavy upon us as a nation, and the church of God seems brought low. Oh Lord, we do pray that thou bring us to search our hearts and to try our ways. Oh Lord, may there be many brought into concern. And Lord, we ask that thou grant thy mercy and favour. Lord, look upon our nation in compassion. We have sinned. We have come short. Lord, we pray that thou send thy Spirit forth to give true repentance. May there be that Holy Spirit regeneration in the hearts of many. May there be a change of heart of leaders and those that have influence, those in positions of authority. Lord, we are in a dreadful state, and it's deserved, and we confess and own that our sins are a cause of it. Oh, we do pray that in much wrath thou wilt remember mercy and turn again our captivity as the streams of the south. Lord, do lay these things upon the hearts of many. May there be those that are sighing and crying for the abominations done in the land. May there be those that are wrestling in prayer. O Lord, we pray, grant the fear of the Lord to be put in many hearts. May there be that turning from idolatry to serve the living God. Lord, do help us as we live our lives. Lord, do keep us as we mingle with the world. Lord, we are to be in the world but not of it. What grace and help we need to walk worthy. Lord, take away the inclination, the sinful inclinations of our hearts. May inclination and opportunity not meet together to bring us into sin. But oh, we do pray that thou wilt put thy hand upon us and order all our ways and grant to us, Lord, that thou wilt frustrate the works of Satan and deliver us from his power. And Lord, may sin not have dominion over us. Oh Lord, we do pray, wash us and cleanse us in the precious blood of Jesus. Do wash us from every sin. Oh, do clothe us with that robe of righteousness, the life we cannot live, the life that Jesus lived. May it be imputed to us. Oh, to be found sheltering, finding that hiding place in Christ Jesus. For there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Do bring us in as sheep in Christ's fold. Lead us as that good shepherd. Supply us with everything that we need. Withhold from us, Lord, those things which are not right. Grant us that we may walk circumspectly, not taking risks, but ever have a tender conscience and the fear of the Lord in our hearts. Lord, do warm and soften our hearts with thy love. Take away the hardness, the lukewarmness, the indifference. Stir us up, we pray. Enlighten us, enliven us. Lord, we humbly pray. Do remember us then, and forgive us anything we've asked amiss. Lord, forgive us the poverty of our worship and our prayer. And those things we fail to ask, Lord, do grant them we do seek. We pray that thou take away all our iniquity and receive us graciously. As we ask, Lord Jesus, in thy name. Amen.
Hymn number 736. Show me some token, Lord, for good, some token of thy special love. Show me that I am born of God, and that my treasure is above. Hymn 736.
turn with me to the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 19, and with the Lord's help this evening, I will speak to you from the closing part of verse 20. The book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 19, and the closing part of verse 20. And he shall send them a saviour, and a great one, and he shall deliver them. The book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 19, and the closing part of verse 20, and he shall send them a saviour, and a great one, and he shall deliver them. This is a prophecy of the coming of the gospel and the effect of it in this passage upon those that would be blessed out of the nation of Egypt. And when this prophecy was made by Isaiah, it was Old Testament days, and the Lord Jesus was not yet come. And you only have to go a few chapters back, and we have that prophecy of his coming. And then we have recorded prophecies of the effects of it. And then we have prophecy of the Lord Jesus' sufferings in Isaiah 53. There's much of the gospel contained in this precious prophecy. The clause before says, "For they shall cry unto the Lord because of the oppressors, and he shall send them a saviour." Well, beloved friends, this evening, as it's laid on my spirit, really, it is to speak of it in its context, the prophecy of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he, that is God, this is Almighty God, and he shall send them a saviour. You know, the children of Israel had known some earthly saviours, if we can use that word. Moses, under the divine influence of Almighty God, was much used in their bringing out of captivity and delivering them from the bondage and the slavery that they were held in Egypt under. And Joshua himself was much used to deliver them from the will of their enemies as they went into the promised land and took occupation. And so we might go through the Old Testament accounts, and here and there are instances of those that are raised up, Samson and others who were raised up for a particular purpose, to deliver the Lord's chosen people from the will of their enemies, from the oppression they were under, to set them free from captivity, and so you might go on. And here is a promise of a Saviour. And he shall send them a Saviour. And then it's added this, and a great one. Oh, what a beautiful description here we have. Sets the Lord Jesus Christ apart from all other. Separates him out, away from all other. A Saviour and a great one. A great one. Oh, and why was it? Why was it that these needed a Saviour and a great one? Because they were in great trouble. They were in great trouble. It says they shall cry unto the Lord because of the oppressors. They were in great trouble. They were in great need. And a great Saviour was needed. For a great deliverance must be brought about. And there is no greater deliverance than when a sinner is born again of the Spirit of God. There is no greater deliverance than when a sinner is brought in all his or her need to feel lost, ruined and undone through sin, and then to find the mercy of God and find that peace with God which passeth all understanding. And so it speaks of a great Saviour, a great one, and he shall deliver them. There is a great great Saviour in our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Sin is that very small word with extraordinary large consequences and implications. And by our nature, we are all ruined in sin. Our sins testify against us. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And what need we have of a deliverance. If our sins are left chargeable to us, if when we come to take that great step from this life into the next, and our sins are still upon us, then, beloved friends, we are lost eternally. We cannot really contemplate it. What a dreadful thing sin is. It is that rebellion against God. The whole of mankind, through Adam, is ruined in sin. We're born in sin and we're shapen in iniquity. And we are possessors of original sin. And as we live our lives, we go on to actually sin. And we're in a most solemn state. And the consequences are eternal. And I cannot in any way impress upon your minds the seriousness of our condition as our nature brings us. And so fallen and corrupt, so great is that fall into sin that you and I are in by nature. It has this deadening effect. And there is no realization. And any pricks of conscience that may be within us are soon extinguished or brushed away because of the total depravity of our hearts. We are in great need, aren't we? And who can truly consider these things? Except the Lord open our eyes and grant us the understanding of these things, however serious a minister might speak of sin and our condition through sin, yet we have this shocking ability to dismiss it. Our eyes will glaze over, our ears will become deaf to the solemn warnings. We are, aren't we, by nature, dead in sin. There is such a great and solemn curse upon us all. And none of us by any of our own works are able to recover ourselves from this solemn place. We are, by our own works and deeds, incapable of blotting out any of our own sin, however well behaved and orderly we may live our lives, however nice we might be as human beings. These things do not stand in any way to offset the sin that we have accumulated. We are in great trouble. Sin is the greatest trouble to this world and to us as mankind. Oh, may the Lord so impress these things upon us. Bring us to a concern. You've heard, no doubt, many warnings. You've read them. You've seen some in your midst who have been brought to confess their sin, and they have given a testimony of the precious blood of Jesus, a hope in it, some peace that's come from it, some comfort, some consolation, a good hope through grace has been testified of, and it's been lived as a witness among you. And now some of them are in glory. And you have, some of you attended the burial services of them. And yet, who can really understand these things? Set the Lord open the eye. That prayer, isn't it? That which I see not, teach thou me. He shall send them a saviour. And you've known in your little lives those who have given witness that saviour who is spoken of here was sent for them. He shall send them a saviour. And you have seen the effect of the coming of their saviour into this world, and you've seen the effect of him entering into their lives and entering into their hearts. And he has set up his kingdom in their heart, and it has been Christ in them, the hope of glory. And some of them have endured hardships, difficulties, trials, bereavements. They've been brought through much tribulation. And what has he proved? To them he has proved to be a great saviour and a great friend. A great friend. One that sticketh closer than a brother, that loveth at all times. Oh, may the Lord give us that desire to be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And he shall send them a saviour. The word of God speaks and gives testimony to those that needed a saviour. Those who felt far off through sin. My mind went to that time when the Lord Jesus was with his disciples, and publicans and sinners drew near for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." Oh, this to them was an insult. They despised him for it. They hated him for it. He wasn't like them. "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." I wonder if there's a few this evening, and this is one of the greatest things that you can see in the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, this is what attracts your heart to this dear Saviour. That he is not ashamed to call his people brethren. That he receives sinners to himself. Well, there were two parables spoken. And one was concerning the the joy in the finding and receiving again of the lost sheep, the one lost sheep out of the 100, the 99 that were safe, and the one that was lost, and the rejoicing when it was found. And then there's the second illustration. Sorry, there's three in this chapter. The second illustration of the piece of money, the piece of silver that's missing. And again, there's the searching and looking and finding and receiving and the joy. The joy. Oh, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. This Saviour, this great Saviour, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Well then, we come to that other parable of the prodigal. And we find the prodigal son. He goes off, doesn't he? It gathers all together and takes his journey into a far country. And he wastes his substance with riotous living. Oh, and then there's that being brought into want. Oh, and he's in need. And he can't find any help. And the help he can find is poor. And he's brought to nothing. And he's brought to the end of everything. And he's empty. And he's far off. And then we read this, and when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger." There's recalling in his mind how in his father's house, those that serve him have their needs supplied. And he's determined to return. But it's not an easy path back. And pride has to go. And it's one of humility. But it's one of necessity. And he says, I will go and say to my father, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." You know, there is true confession, isn't there? I have sinned. Oh, to the sinner who feels his need, to the sinner who's brought to nothing, to the sinner who is emptied of everything of self, how precious is the Saviour. How precious is the Saviour. You know, you think of the Christmas story, so it's called. this time of the year when we particularly remember the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. To many, it's just a very nice story. I wonder if it means anything to you. Oh, to the one who feels his sin. Oh, the coming of the Lord Jesus, his birth at Bethlehem. It's like a ray of light. Oh, he may not have the assurance that Jesus came from heaven to earth for him. But it's good news that he came. It's glad tidings of great joy that Jesus came. It is good news that there is a Saviour, that he did come, and that he did live his life. A spotless, sinless man. Oh, it is welcome news to the heart that feels his sin to hear of the glorious God-man, the man Christ Jesus, who went about doing good, who in him there was no sin, original or actual. Oh, it is the joy of his heart to hear of the Saviour of sinners. Oh, that lowly birth at Bethlehem. Oh, that holy thing made of a woman, made under the law. It gladdens his heart. It brings hope in that dark place of conviction of sin, because it gives something, an object, one to look to. Oh, there's been maybe much pondering and much contemplating of self. And how right it is, and how needful that is. Oh, but there must come that time. And may the Lord so bring you, poor, trembling, needy one this evening, bring you to look away from yourself. As we sung on our first hymn, you think of those words, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so also must the Son of Man be lifted up. Oh, that he might be looked to. That our eye of faith might be fixed on him. That prodigal. You see, there was a glimmer of hope. And the way back, and the path back, was one of humility. It was not easy. And he stayed away as long as he could. And how many of us have done that? But then out of necessity. Oh, there must be. Brought back. Brought as this prodigal. I'm no more worthy. He's got no ground, he feels to have sinned away his sonship. He can't think that the Father might receive him as a son. Such is his fallen and lost and ruined place. And he arose and he came to his Father, but when he was yet a great way off. That's a most precious and beautiful thing, isn't it? great way off, his father saw him. His father saw him. Oh, maybe there's one or two that feel this evening to be a great way off. How can God look upon me? Oh, how will he not condemn me to hell? You have to join with the hymn writer and say, and if my soul were sent to hell, thy righteous law approves it well. In and of themselves they see no grounds, no reason why, except that with him, that there is forgiveness with him. Oh, that there is a place by him. There is a way of approach to him. Oh, there is for the poor and the lost and the wretched and undone who feel their need. There is a loving welcome. Oh, there's a great one who has made a way back, who is a wonderful days man, who has one hand on his father's throne and one hand on a poor, needy, undone sinner. And in this great one, in this glorious God-man, the man Christ Jesus, oh, the two can most sweetly come together. Oh, they can most sweetly join in the person of Jesus Christ. Oh, there is a way whereby a poor trembling sinner may be brought nigh, be made nigh, and it's by the blood of Jesus. Oh, we read in our reading, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honour, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Oh, this is this great and glorious Saviour. Oh, the one whose birth we particularly remember this time of year, who came into this world with that great work of salvation to accomplish. Oh, a great gift had been given to him in the covenant of grace, a gift of a people, all wretched, undone sinners. And oh, what need they had of that blotting out of their sin. Greatly had they sinned. How great the implications of it. How greatly it had stained them. Oh, but how great was that work of salvation which he did. Oh, he made himself a little lower than the angels. He came right down where they were. Oh, he took upon him not the nature of an angel, but the seed of Abraham. Oh, and he He took it into union with his divine person. And he remained what he was, the eternal Son of God, dearly loved of the Father. And he became what he wasn't before. It's a real man. Oh, it became him. By necessity, through covenant obligation, in that agreement made before the world was formed, it became him then to fulfill it. It became him to, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed. Not ashamed to call them brethren. Oh, greater love, said the Lord Jesus, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Well, there's that beautiful opening verse in there of hymn 339. O my distrustful heart, how small thy faith appears, but greater, Lord, thou art than all my doubts and fears. Did Jesus once upon me shine? Then Jesus is forever mine. Oh, a saviour and a great one. Great in power. Great in glory. Great in love. Great in his mercy. Great in his ability. To soften the hardest of hearts. Great in his precious sin-atoning sufferings and death. Great in that cleansing and that washing of all sin in that fountain which he opened at Calvary. Oh, what great sins are washed away in that fountain. Oh, what a great, great Saviour we find in Jesus Christ. Oh, that the love, the compassion, the mercy, the tender heart. What a great high priest. How he intercedes for his people. How he represents their cause in heaven above. How great those marks of the nails and spear and crown of thorns. Oh, what great things are obtained. In and through the Lord Jesus. A great deliverer. One who can deal with the greatest of sinners. Or the chiefest of sinners. One who is able to pay the great price of 500 pence sinners. And say, her sins, which are many, are all forgiven. Oh, this indeed is a great Saviour. And we each stand in need of this great salvation. Oh, may the mercy of God be greatly applied to us each, and may it please God to greatly bless us with the riches of his grace and bring us into this personal relationship with this great Saviour. And he shall send them a Saviour and a great one, and he shall deliver them. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Robert Field will preach on Friday evening, and afterwards there'll be a church meeting, and Mr. Field will preach for us again next Lord's Day. Our closing hymn is 341. Lord, hast thou made me know thy ways? Conduct me in thy fear, and grant me such supplies of grace that I may persevere. Hymn 341.
Forgive all that thy pure and holy eyes have seen amiss in our worship this day. Do take us each home in peace and in safety. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.